share something about the love of God, how much God loves us. And really, that does relate a little bit to Memorial Day, because there were people, soldiers or military people, who loved their country enough to stand up and fight and to defend the country and to die for the country. But we remember that Jesus Christ, he paid the price, where he gave his own life for us. And so I want to talk a little bit about the love of God. And in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8, I see some of you have your Bibles. That's great. And this is a familiar verse. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so there's almost two sides of this Bible verse. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us." And, you know, it's remarkable. I started, even though I've been a Christian for a number of years, I started noticing in a new way the verses, and when it says love, when it talks about God's love for us. And because I had heard, this is about almost a month ago, someone else talk about the love of God. And to make a long story short, I decided to read and study some more about it myself. And here's this verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so it's special if someone gives a life for someone that they love. I mean, if someone is married, has a wife or a spouse, and something comes up and they're willing to sacrifice their own life to defend that person, that's a special thing. Or a family member, a brother or sister or a parent or a child, that someone sacrifices their life to save someone else's life. And here it says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that where we're still sinners." So Jesus, we remember at the time of Easter, we celebrate that Jesus went to the cross and he paid with his own life. He paid for our sins and he made a way for us to have eternal life. And he did that not for somebody that already promised to become a Christian. He did it for people who still hadn't turned and received Jesus Christ. And so it says here, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so we're so thankful that God loved us. The other week I was talking about John 3:16. You probably know this verse by heart, many of you. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so we're so grateful that God loved us to make a way for us to have eternal life. You know, I sometimes ask the question, it's a rhetorical question, if there was any other way for people to be right with God, would he have sent his son? You know, sadly, there are other religions and there's other people who think there are other ways, but really, the only way is through Jesus Christ, the Savior. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me." And so God loved mankind so much that he made a way for us to be saved. He sent Jesus Christ into this world, who was born of the Virgin Mary. And then we, of course, during Christmas time, we remember that Jesus was born here into the world. And then he lived here for 30 years, and he never sinned. And then he started teaching and preaching and demonstrating God's love for people. And that was something, some of you may know the stories about when Jesus was here on earth, he went and healed people. And when I read these stories about people being healed, there is an element of faith that people believed in Jesus enough to call on him, but it demonstrates how much God loves people that he made a way for them to be healed when Jesus was here on earth. I believe that Jesus still heals in the name of Jesus today, but he also primarily, he saves people as they call upon him. And in Matthew chapter 8, we just want to go over a few stories here briefly. And it says, this is right after, in if you know the book of Matthew, you have the Sermon on the Mount, I think chapters 5, 6, and 7. And so when Jesus gets done with the Sermon on the Mount, he has people coming to him asking for help. And we see in every instance that he helped them, he healed them. And here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, and when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. This is right after the Sermon on the Mount. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And so there's several lessons here, but we see God's willingness. We see God's love working through his Son, Jesus Christ, that this person called on Jesus and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him. He showed his love, said, I am willing, be cleansed. He spoke the word, be cleansed, and immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And then I want to skip down to this next story here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And so this shows God's love again, that he didn't just say, okay, you're not even a part of the Israel nation, you're not a Jew, who are you? He didn't say that to this. He said, I will come and heal him. And then we see that it's a great story of faith. But the point was that Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And then the centurion demonstrated his faith in Jesus, but Jesus also showed his love to people. And then I want to skip over to verse 14 of Matthew chapter 8. It says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. And you know, in the book of Hebrews, there's a verse that says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that same Jesus that was here on earth, that reached out and touched the leper, and the leper was cleansed, who said to the centurion, I will come and heal your servant. And the servant was healed. And here we see in Matthew chapter 8 that this Peter's mother, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother sick. So it was actually his mother-in-law that was sick. But he touched her with her hand, and the fever left her. And so those are great examples of God's love toward us. And so I want to go back here to Romans. And in Romans chapter 8, it talks some more about the love of God. We had already read Romans 5:8. That's chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God commends his love toward us, and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. But here, it talks about God's love in a different way. And here in verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And it's a rhetorical question. It's saying, what can separate us from the love of Christ? And really, the answer is, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. If we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, nothing can take that away from us. Nothing can take that away from us. And the wonderful thing is, I often use the example of someone offering a $100 bill and said, here's $100 for you, but you have to take that $100. It's, even though the $100 is offered to you, you don't have it until you take it out of that person's hand. And that is the way it is with God's love. God's love is available to us through Jesus Christ, but then we have to receive that love by receiving Jesus Christ into our life. And once we have received it, then nothing can take it away from us. No outside thing. And it mentions some really serious things that at different times in the world, we sadly have seen even war times. As I mentioned, my parents, they both made it through World War II, and if they weren't alive, I wouldn't be here, to put it that simply. And so I hear little stories about, you know, how God protected both of my parents. Even though my dad was away in the war, my mother, I mean, she would tell stories of being there in Germany, and they would be bombing, and she told the story about being in a hallway and just holding the baby and just being thrown from one wall to the other, and still she made it through. And you know, all my brothers and sisters made it through that time that were born then, and I was born in the 50s, so that makes me now in my 50s. But I'm thankful that God has loved us, and God will love each person who will receive Him into their life. And so here it says, verse 35 of Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then in verse 37 it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You know, I heard a little interesting story about the difference between being a conqueror and being a more than a conqueror. And the story goes like this. You know, there's a man who's a prize fighter. He's a boxer. And so he has a boxing match, and then he wins the boxing match, and so he gets a prize. So he conquered the other guy. But then he goes home and gives the money to his wife. And so then the wife is sort of more than the conqueror. She didn't have to work for the prize, but she got the prize. And that's the wonderful thing, is that for us as Christians, we didn't have to work for the prize of salvation. Jesus paid for it for us on the cross. And so this verse, it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. And we can be always victorious. No matter what situation we go through, we can be victorious. We can remember that Jesus is with us. There's a great verse here at the end of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And then here's this phrase, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus has promised to be with us wherever we go. He is with us. There's a verse. It says, in Him we live and move and have our being. And when we have Jesus in our heart, then Jesus is living inside of us. And so here, verse 37 of Romans 8, it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so it's real interesting in this passage here in Romans chapter 8, at the end of this chapter, it talks about the love of God three times. And we can find other places in the Bible where it talks about the love of God. But it's interesting right here in verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then here in verse 37 it says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And then here in the last verse it says, nothing shall separate us. I'm paraphrasing. Well, I'll read verse 38 and 39 again. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we're so thankful that Jesus made a way for us to be saved. I'm going to just talk two quick examples from the Old Testament that demonstrate how much God loved people then. And really they were almost examples or foreshadows of Jesus doing the same thing and making a way for us to be a deliverer for us. And we look in the Old Testament, we see the story about Joseph. And matter of fact, the church we're from, Gateway Church, Pastor Robert Morris, he is doing a series on the life of Joseph. and how Joseph actually passed 10 tests before he was promoted from the prison up into being in the palace right next to the leader. But the thing was, God knew way in advance. We don't know all the reasons why there were going to be 7 good years in that part of the world and then 7 bad years. We don't know all the reasons, but the thing was, God knew that, and he actually prepared a person, Joseph, way back in, he was living there, he was not living in Egypt, he was living there with his family, and Joseph had these dreams that one day he was going to be in charge. I'm paraphrasing, you can read that yourself. And his brothers didn't appreciate that, and so they ended up selling him into slavery. And then Joseph goes there into Egypt, and he's there in Potiphar's house. And even though he's a slave, he gets promoted. But then he gets accused of a crime, and then he goes into prison. And there he is until the butler who and the baker who worked for the king of that place, Pharaoh, had dreams. And so the butler, he had this one dream, and neither of them could interpret it, but Joseph interpreted the dreams for him, and he said to the butler, you're going to be back in being butlering in 3 days. But he said to the baker, he says, your dream means in 3 days your life is over. And it happened exactly that way. And he had said, Joseph had said to the butler, when you come back into your position, remember me. But the butler didn't remember him for two years until Pharaoh had a dream, and Pharaoh had this dream he couldn't figure out. And so I won't read them. It's almost a time for another message. But he had two dreams, and he couldn't figure them out. And so then the butler said, oh, I remember now. There was this guy in the prison that could interpret dreams. So they said, oh, go bring that man. So they went and got Joseph, and Joseph was able to interpret the dreams for the Pharaoh and told him and said, these dreams mean there's going to be 7 good years, and then after that there'll be 7 bad years. And so they said, well, who can we put in charge of that will be organized for this? I'm paraphrasing. They said, how about Joseph? So Joseph got promoted from one day being there in the prison. He got promoted to being right next to the Pharaoh. And so then he followed through on that plan. He made sure that in the 7 good years, they saved enough of the harvest and everything, so in the 7 bad years, they were ready and they all lived. But I tell that story quickly to say that God knew all that in advance, and he had prepared Joseph to be a deliverer way in advance so he could help those people there in Egypt. And then his own relatives came. They were over there living nearby in the next country over, and they needed food themselves. And so when they came to Egypt and wanted food, there was food. Why? Because Joseph had these dreams, or the king had the dream, Pharaoh had the dreams, but Joseph was able to understand them and interpret them. And through all that, we see how much God loved the people way back then, that he made a person, Joseph, to help rescue these people. And then, you know, we see the story about Moses, which there's a lot to the story about Moses. You can read it in the book of Exodus. But the children of Israel, after Joseph was there, they brought all their his relatives over. There were 70 people. But 400 years later, there were almost like 1 million people, roughly. And they were, instead of being treated good and being remembered for what Joseph did, they were actually being slaves almost. They had all these bricks, not to shout, bricks that they had to make, and they had to deliver them. And they were having a tough life. And then, but God prepared another person to deliver them, to get them out of there, and that was Moses. Because we read about way back then, even they were almost like nowadays, sadly, there is abortion. Back then, they were told to get rid of the male babies. But Moses was still born, and was not still born in the wrong way, but born. And then he was 3 months old, and then his mother said, I can't hide this boy anymore. So they put him in this little ark or this little container, and they put him in the river. And then Pharaoh's daughter found this ark, and so then he got rescued. And then they said, "Well, who can take care of this little baby?" And they said, and Moses' sister was nearby and said, "I got someone that can help." So she went and got his mother, and his mother got paid to bring up Moses, even though now he was taken care of. But I tell that story that God loved the people so much, even back then, that he made a way by preparing a man called Moses to get the people of Israel, the Israelites, out of Egypt and brought them. He could have brought them right into the promised land, but they got stuck there in the wilderness, and it was Joshua who actually brought them in years later. But I mentioned those two stories of, I see great examples of how God loved the people back in the Old Testament. But then we come back to what we read, this verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so God saw the mess that mankind was in, and all people being in sin, and they couldn't pay for their sins. The Jews had a system where they had animal sacrifices, but that only covered the sin. It didn't really take it away. But God saw our situation, and he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world that we could have a way of salvation. That Jesus lived here for 30 years, and then he taught and demonstrated the power of God, as we read there in Matthew 8. He demonstrated the power of God, and then they didn't believe that he was the Son of God, and they had him crucified. But the thing was, when he was crucified, he paid for all of our sins. And if we will receive him as Savior, we can have eternal life. And so I'm going to read one more verse here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. This is a new Bible. I have good Bibles at home. I have a King James Bible, but this is New King James. So instead of saying thee and thou, it's saying you. So hopefully it's a little more understandable. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so, I sometimes go with a group on Tuesday nights, and we actually go out and talk to people about becoming Christians, and we ask the question. We have like a little pamphlet, a little tract, and we give to people, and it's like a little cartoon, but it's very real. And because on the cover of the cartoon is the question, when it's time to stand before God, and he asks you, why should he let you in, what would you say? And so we ask people that question, and we say, you know, when it's time to stand before God and he asks you, why should he let you in? What would you say? And if a person's a Christian, they would say, he's going to let me in because I received Jesus Christ as Savior. But if a person doesn't answer the question or doesn't know the answer to the question, then we'll say, I mean, all of us, we have a little different way to present it, but it's basically the same verses. But we share, say, four Bible verses from the book of Romans. And so we share Romans 3:23. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we share Romans 5:8. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then we share Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then I say the last verse, which is here, Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so I say to people, just pray with us and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And so we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to just repeat this verse and as we pray. And we just thank God for salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you love everyone here, that you have got good things for them. You want them to be in heaven one day, and you want them to have an abundant life through Jesus Christ right now. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that for your great love for everyone here. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can ask you, and we do ask you to forgive us of our sins, any sins that we have done in the past, that we have done this past week, that we may have even done today. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. And now we confess, like it says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life, and we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we thank you, Lord, for saving us. We thank you for giving us eternal life, for giving us abundant life through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you said whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we thank you, Lord, for saving us, for Jesus being our good shepherd and going before us and making the way straight for us. We thank you and praise you for this. We pray your blessing again upon every man, every woman that is here. And Lord, that you give them a good today and the rest of this week and the coming year. We thank you and praise you for this. In Jesus' name.